an ordinance relating to signs.
Good morning, Mr. President.
Good morning, sir.
Council. Thank you for having me. We have some copies of a redline version of the current sign ordinance and proposed ordinance. I don't know if you all have that.
There should be a copy at your desk.
If not, I've got extras.
Okay. I guess we all have.
Looks like we're in red before we start.
This is just a follow-up from our meeting last month regarding the sign ordinance. Apologize for the raspy voice this morning. We as the team has met to review some of the comments that we received both at that meeting and afterwards. And these were the issues we've addressed with what's before you. Some definitional changes, billboards, electronic message centers, and enforcement. I know enforcement's kind of an overarching issue throughout. As part of this, we've come up with some newly defined terms, which we've listed here. I know you've got a busy agenda today, so I won't bore you with the details on them, but they are listed. We also have revised some definitions that, particularly as time went on, we felt needed to be improved, or just through enforcement reasons, we realized that perhaps a revised definition would be appropriate. And then there was a discussion last time regarding luminance standards for electronic message centers. And as part of that, we recognized there was some language that are involved with those standards. So we sought those out and came up with some definitions that typically are found in the industry. As part of it, we looked at some signs that would need to be or proposed to be prohibited, one of which would be animated signs. I believe that was a concern raised at the last one, as well as abandoned signs, which have been abandoned for more than 6 months. That appeared to be a concern. Mirror signs, which was something that we found in some model language, V-shaped signs, and signs that had more than two faces, which had apparently been a concern as well. So we'll get into some of those in a little bit as well. We looked at the construction fees and permitting. There was some language regarding identification of sign owner and permit number on the sign, and with the new GIS software, it's much easier to identify that, so it made sense from an enforcement standpoint to remove that requirement. But one of the big things that I know that had come up was how to, you know, perhaps the fees, fee structure being looked at. And there were some increases that were proposed, particularly with the construction permit, where we would increase from 50 cents a square foot to 65 square foot with a increase in the minimum for signage, minimum fee, as well as an increase in the annual fees from 25 cents to 32 cents, and as well an increase in the one-time fee. That would bring that more in line with current standards. And it's been a while since I think these had been looked at.
Quick question on, sure, on the fees. Did you calculate whether those fees would subsidize any new enforcement we may create with this whole operation? We think it'll.
I have not.
The rest of the tax base is not subsidized.
Yes.
I mean, you looked at that closely.
We actually backed in the fees based on the hiring of one staffer. So the fees were developed in conjunction with the finance director. So those proposed fees will cover one new employee.
If we find out that one's not enough, we are a huge county, very big county, and one staff person is not enough, do we have the flexibility to increase those without any problem, or are they going to be enshrined in a ordinance that we have to then change the ordinance? What's the answer there?
The current proposal is that the fees are contained within the sign ordinance, and we only proposing to cover one employee. If we needed a future increase, yes, as proposed, we would need to amend the ordinance, which would then require us to amend the fees.
What if there's a consensus as we get to the public hearing that it looks like our staff and one person would be overwhelmed with this, and then we're stuck with, again, a fee structure that's not justified? Is there a way that Mr. Moore or any of you guys, Jamie, we can write this today, so that during the public hearing process, a week or two from now, we can, you know, think about it a little better and conversation, and we have some more flexibility.
The short title in the proposed ordinance is rather narrow, or I should say it's rather broad. It deals with changes to the sign ordinance in general, and that would allow for, as, you know, you receive comments from planning and zoning and the public hearing process, that if you looked at this and felt that there needed to be amendments there too, you could make those amendments.
So that number, those numbers could be changed. That's all I, okay.
Yes.
I've heard that explained. I want to make sure.
Okay. And that goes for every, you know, the other change.
Well, yeah, I just think we need to know that because because we may be thinking one person might be able to do this. And as we get into it, we may find out that one person may not be.
Yes. And it's not just on the fees, but there may be, through the public hearing process, you learn other things and you decide to make some changes. The short title puts the public on notice that you're discussing an ordinance concerning signs, and you would be able to make amendments.
Okay. So anything we see here today in the text, we have some
yes
wiggle room. Thank you.
That was the intention.
That's good. That's good news.
The next issue I wanted to tackle was on-premise signs. In discussion, one of the things that came up, and I think this has been a concern with the planning and zoning staff, was the square footage on wall signs. It's currently 150 square feet, or 15% of the total wall area, where the wall exceeds 1,000 feet. And proposed was just to say 150 square feet to make that easier on an enforcement standpoint, as well as to clear that up. Likewise, the on-premise ground signs allow for one sign per street or road frontage per parcel. So a parcel that may be fronting on multiple streets or roads could have multiple ground signs. This would allow just per parcel, and that was something we included.
Another question. When it says two street frontages, so we have an intersection. You have a billboard sitting at an intersection, which we've just seen something. I mean, is this going to allow... because it's on a corner, two signs, even though the one sign would cover the both.
No, this is per parcel. So we would now be, it rather, we're taking away the street road frontage altogether. It would just be per parcel. And this is dealing with on-premise signs, not billboards.
Okay, so we don't have a situation where there's one parcel facing two roads, they get two signs.
Correct.
One parcel faces two roads, they get one sign.
Correct.
Okay, got it. Sorry, misinterpreted that.
Nope, no problem.
I'm a layman.
I believe that, George.
The next issue I want to tag was off-premise signs, and a lot of these we had discussed at the last meeting. One of the things that we came up with was currently the ordinance distinguishes between signs that are 200 square feet or more versus ones that are 200 square feet or less. And there's the difference there is the side yard setbacks are less for a smaller billboard. This would, as proposed, would remove that distinction, would treat all billboards the same. Kind of a technical thing, but I think from an enforcement standpoint, it would be helpful. And as part of that, we looked at our current setbacks. It's 40 feet for the front. That would not change. The rear yard setback, there currently is not one. This new ordinance would allow for it to be equal to the front yard setback for building in that district. So you couldn't have a billboard right on the property line. And the side yard setback would be 50 feet, which would be consistent with what we currently have for billboards that are 200 square feet or larger now.
Isn't it currently 25 feet?
I believe it's 20.
I mean, the first one, current code, front yard setback.
It's 40.
Like 25 feet, wasn't it?
Is it 25, General? I thought it's 25.
Okay, well, it says current code, front yard setback, 40
feet. It would be the same regardless. It's not changing.
Well, the current code is 25 feet. And am I looking at that wrong?
Could have been just a typo in preparing it.
Okay, I'm just saying that is wrong. Okay, front yard setback, current yard is 25 feet, not 40. Okay.
No, I strike that. It should be, the current code's 25, it goes to 40.
I got it. Apologies. Okay, that's what I'm trying to.
It goes to 40. Okay. I think we talked about that.
Okay. Typo.
Yep. A lot of drafts floating around.
Whereas a guy earlier in the day says we don't read anything, and I just wanted to let you.
Good catch, Mr. Cole.
Occasionally we do read. Right, Sam?
I think I confer with that.
All right.
The other point we looked at was separation distances between dwelling, church, school, and public lands. It's currently 300 feet. The proposal would increase that to 500 feet, which was based on feedback we'd received. We also included, as part of the definitional part that I referred to earlier, definition of public lands. which currently is not defined, and this would allow for it to be parks, recreation areas, historical sites, wildlife refuges, public forest land, preservation land, and greenways. And that would include lands in agricultural preservation as well. It would expressly exclude public roads, streets, right-of-ways, utilities, as those were items that currently, if billboard needs to be near a road, is the idea.
When a church applies to put up a sign, do they pay the permit as same as anybody else would?
I believe they do.
Okay.
Yes.
Another thing for off-premise signs was the separation distance between off-premise signs currently is 300 feet. What is proposed would be an increase to 1,000 feet, as well as a separation distance of 50 feet from on-premise signs, so that you don't have those right on top of each other, which has been noted. Mm-hmm. The height limitation currently is 25 feet. That would be raised to 35 feet, as had been discussed previously. And then a couple other items related to off-premise signs. No more than two signs per structure. So if you had, you could do front and back. No side could exceed 300 square feet, which is as it is now. But stacked and side-by-side billboards would be expressly prohibited. No variances would be allowed for off-premise signs. So you'd have to fit within your allotted area, separation distance, height, and size. And those who apply for it, as we discussed previously, would have to obtain a letter of no objection from DLDOT, and the feedback we'd had was that that is they're fairly responsible in that. Enforcement, we had looked at our, currently we have a disposal fee of $25. That was looked at increasing the removal fee to $100, and also a fineage of $100 up to $1,000. Each day would be a separate offense. This would be a general enforcement procedure related to signs in general, not just billboards.
There was an individual asked me today if we could do an administrative type thing where I think DENREC does it, where somebody, one of our inspectors, goes up, there's a sign that's he deemed to be not legal or violating our code, and he would write a ticket on the spot. As opposed to what we do a lot of things in the past is somebody's got to get violated, then they go through this, our attorneys get involved, and then they got to go in front of one of the courts and all that stuff. Is it possible to do something like that that would make it a much more efficient, streamlined, and a person could still challenge, I guess, a ticket,
I guess? I think it has. What we actually took was the language, I believe, from Kent County, Janelle? Is that where Kent County, regarding the handling of fines and the process by which that would go. It would allow for the code enforcement office to do those things. So I think it would allow for that, where okay. They could actually, you know, handle those fines.
Walk us all through it. Currently, what would happen if somebody was violated today with a billboard? What do we do today, and what will, under this new ordinance, maybe make it better? Is anybody...
Perhaps Mr. Lank could
perhaps
better walk you through that process.
Is that all right, Mr. President?
Sure. Yeah, sure.
Okay. I just trying. Yeah, I'm just trying to educate myself.
That's fine. The only fine we do basically instant is the bandits, where we find $25 fine, and we send them an invoice, and they would pay, and they don't get their signs back. They get destroyed.
Well. No, I'm talking billboards. Go from those little ones to the big ones. I'm talking about big ones.
It was set up in the bandit regulation that we could do that, but the big ones still have to go through the process, either through legal or through the consul's office, to go through JP court or whatever.
That's the thing. The point is, I'd love to have something a little more streamlined, a little quicker, mm-hmm. and avoid, again, the extra additional costs that could be associated with what you're talking about. From the county's point of view, I'm really thinking about our county costs.
On the spot fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, and I think
just like a trip
my understanding is the individual told me at DENREC, Department of Natural Resources, when they have certain violations, they do that, and they actually have some kind of electronic little thing that they're carrying around that they do it. Because I got stopped one time by the Marine Police.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's very similar to
Didn't have my life preservers.
Yeah. Parking dog.
Mr. Cole, but it's very similar to what the state police do now. If you get stopped, you're giving a ticket. You have the right to just a voluntary assessment. Just go ahead and pay it then without contesting. But if you do contest, there'd be a hearing. So you're wanting something very similar to that to streamline as much as possible.
Well, I don't know. Does anybody else share that concern? I just think that what we have today is very cumbersome.
It makes sense to look at trying to streamline some of that.
Yes, to answer your question. But at the same time, it's not just the county's expense. Yes, we have to be responsible for the taxpayers' dollars. At the same time, we should make it streamlined and less expensive for the violator.
Oh, yeah, right.
I mean, in the end, it's about the consumer, and we should be attempting to serve them. And granted, trying to skirt the rules and looking the other way is one thing. If they're, didn't realize it, kind of a scenario. In other words, we should try to make it streamlined for everybody involved, not just the county's perspective, but also for the consumer. And also, Mr. Sheriff, if I may, these are all pretty very different than what we've had for years, these proposals. And we're going to have a public hearing, and these are not in concrete, so these can be adjusted, correct?
That's correct, I would presume.
As we get more input, more feedback from the public. So I just want to make sure that is fully understood, from anybody who might be seeing or listening or reading this, that these are just proposed.
Correct.
And it's easier to come down versus going back up on some of these numbers.
Yeah, last meeting we had talked about starting points, and we kind of proposed this and that in that way that it could be, as you all receive feedback, you could look at this and figure out how you want this to look.
Sure. Okay.
You're exactly right, Councilman. When the council approves this introduction, it will then go to P&Z. They'll post it. Be a P&Z hearing.
Mm-hmm.
Then it'll be posted. We have a hearing. So there's two hearings, and then we'll make the final decision.
That's correct.
And P&Z will make a recommendation.
Right.
Okay. Yep. So good exposure to everybody.
Just want to make sure it's fully understood what the process is.
Yep.
Is this sign in Nanticoke or Dairy Queen in Seaford? Is this be a legal sign? And let's see, he wants me to get closer to his mic here. Is it legal, the sign they put up over Nanticoke River, over Nanticoke, Dairy Queen, are they legal?
Well, I'm not familiar with the sign, and I don't know that.
I'm talking about the billboards, put two of them up there at Nanticoke, Seaford.
I think that's in the city of Seaford.
It is?
They annexed out there.
In other words, anybody in Seaford can, and the town limits can put in signs up they want to put up.
Well, the towns have their own zoning laws, so they can they can have rule over their area.
I recommend a lot of these people come to more towns, take on more towns, so they won't be hurt so bad as far as advertising their business.
It's almost
getting to be ridiculous if we can't advertise our business, isn't it?
The next issue that we addressed, and I think this is one that was of particular interest with both the working group and council, was illumination standards. We did some research to try to find out what appropriate illumination standards would be, and we added some language, one of which would require the external illumination be shielded so you don't have bright light shining on folks. But more importantly, we looked at the luminance level of, and this is a term that you may hear as you go through this process, which is nits, which is a way to measure luminance. And what we've set was a maximum luminance level before sunset and until sunrise, so that during the darkness of night, those signs are appropriately lit. They're not blinding, and this was a number that had come up. We've seen it with other ordinances, and we used some language from model codes that you may see in there. So a lot of it's very technical and something that we've encountered in our research. excuse me. As far as electronic message centers, right now they're allowed in kind of two different areas on-premise signs. B1, M, and UB kind of have it and grouped in one area, and then similar language is put in C1, CR1, and so forth. What we did was, rather than having those kind of in these different areas, we removed them from there and we put them in a separate section dealing just with with electronic message centers. So that kind of allows us to have one area where they're at. We've set forth some proposed regulations for them, such as they must be fixed for 10 seconds or more. Changing copy has to be done in a second or less, so you can't have it scrolling through or, you know, long animation sequences, and that it has to have a default provision so that if this thing, you know, has a malfunction, it's frozen. It's not, you know, blaring back and forth. The other thing was express prohibition on animation, flash, and scrolling. I think that was a concern that seemed everyone shared, that they have to comply with those luminance standards that we discussed, and they have to have an automatic dimming control. And in fact, if you were to apply for a permit for one, you'd have to submit documentation that your sign has those capabilities. This would couldn't have it anything that looks similar to traffic, and again, it must remain fixed from sunset to sunrise, because again, we're looking those evening hours, wanted to have something that was standard and not moving, so it could be a disturbance. No noise can be emitted from them, so that was something else that came up in our research, and there would be no variances from that, much like we were talking about with no variances from billboards. As far as where they would be permitted, they would be permitted with a special use exception for on-premise signs, but off-premise would be prohibited. Therefore, you would not have an electronic message center billboard, which is, again, something that had been discussed. Lastly, we looked into non-conforming off-premise signs, and we researched what was done locally. In our last meeting, we talked about what was done in Worcester County. I believe it was Worcester County, correct, Kyle? And what they did there as far as if you had a sign, had a billboard that became dilapidated or what have you, what are the standards? This would allow for maintenance unless it was totally destroyed. We've established what the standards are for total destruction, which is 50% or more of the supporting piles, and again, we've defined them as above-ground piles so that you can't say, well, there's so much below. 75% or more of the facing, or 25% of the structures, and 50% of the facing, so some combination of both. It would prohibit the conversion of non-conforming off-premise signs to electronic message centers, and we would have some prohibitions on reconstruction, expansion, or re-erection. In other words, you're allowed to have that up there, and you're allowed to maintain it, but if it comes down substantially, you know, it stays down.
And yeah, if it's a non-conforming sign and it's totally destroyed and it's determined to be that, to put one back there, it would be non-conforming, so they can't.
Correct.
They lose it.
That's right.
It's lost at that point.
That's right. And that's what we saw that day down in Worcester.
Well, typically with a non-conforming use, you write any time or house if it's or anything, right? Mm-hmm. Right. Usually when it's totally destroyed, it can't come back.
So those were the points that were addressed in what was before you. And just so that you know, we haven't ignored some other issues, but we wanted to focus on the big issues of on-premise, off-premise signs and billboards. So bandit signs, directional signs, these temporary construction signs. And also a clean hands ordinance amendment were some items that we would hope to address at a later date.
In its connection to the sign ordinance, you're talking
correct.
About clean hands
correct.
Ordinance.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. And that would, I believe, just be to make sure that fines were included as part of the monetary obligations. It's not specifically listed now.
Would you like to explain to me why 10 seconds is involved?
10 seconds was the, I believe, the figure that is used by DelDOT.
Okay.
It's 8 seconds is what we currently have.
Why 10 seconds? Why 10 seconds? Why are we talking about 10 seconds here?
Messages.
I could be 2 seconds from that sign, it changed on me. What difference? What's that amount to?
I think the fear, Mr. Wilson, or the one that had been expressed to us, was having them change too quickly, and they're
it'd be quick when. 2 seconds. If I'm a second from that sign, and I'm driving 50 miles an hour, and I'm only a couple seconds from that sign, and it changes, within that 10 seconds, what the heck's the difference in it? I don't think that amounts to a hill of beans.
Well, other
just
people.
Something to talk about. It's all we're
sure.
doing.
National standards.
Mm-hmm. That's all we. That's all we're going to talk. We're hiring lawyers to talk about something silly to me.
Sam, so you'd rather have one changing every 2 seconds?
You no one like has changed 2 seconds. What difference it make?
They claim they're distracting.
They are. We put a flashlight up and be distracting me. It means I got stopped when the light.
Mr. President, I think you, Sam's getting distracted.
I know George.
You're doing fine, Sam.
You're Sam. All
right. I distract George because he wants to change these rules. Spend a lot of time on it. I don't necessarily agree with all this thinking. I don't have this problem on the west side. And the east side, they got all these problems, so I guess they can charge what they want to charge or where. Sorry about that. Thank you.
This is a discussion of possible introduction of an ordinance waiving signs. Do you have a...
I have a proposed short title, Mr. President.
That's what we need to hear.
It's an ordinance to amend the code of Sussex County, Chapter 115, Zoning, Article 21, Signs.
I'd love to introduce it, and I would like to have Mr. Wilson second that motion.
Motion, Mr. Cole.
That's what you think.
Second.
I will second it because we need to have a conversation.
Mr. Arlett, questions on the motion?
But yes, I do.
If I may, it's just for the introduction,
There's no question.
And so at that point, once it is now introduced, and there would be no further discussion until public hearing.
You are correct. I stand corrected. Mm-hmm. That's why you're there, Mr. Moore.
Sorry there, Mr. Arlett.
Am I not allowed to ask a question on the timeline?
No. You can
do Therefore, that. I will not.
Sure.
Okay.
Yes. Thank you. I have it right here.
We do have a moratorium, and it's really relevant to make sure we understand where we are on this timeline.
Yes. So we were hoping for an introduction today, which we just got, and the next steps will be the planning zoning's review and public hearing, which we have scheduled for May 12th. They may or may not act on May 12th. Their subsequent meeting after that is May 26th. The council's schedule will be as such. We will have this on the agenda with the public hearing on May 24th. That builds in at least one or two meetings for us to work through public hearings. And if you defer, we have additional meetings to finalize the ordinance to meet our moratorium deadline of June 15.
Okay. That was the question, June 15. Okay.
I got a follow-up on that. If the P&Z comes up with some recommendations, which I'm sure they will we then be presented with a document that shows, like, we have red, will we have some other, maybe other colors of P&Z's recommendations? And then this we'll call these, can we call these staff recommendations, I guess?
That's the introduced ordinance, and I think what Mr. Sharp did was sort of give the introduced version that's required by statute and then the redline version, which is a whole lot easier for everybody to really follow. Depending on what comes out of P&Z, that'll be a recommendation with proposed changes, and if it's, you know, five or six of them and they're not that complicated, it may stay at that in that motion, or if they're substantial, we'll probably do another redline version that would show ordinance with the changes.
Well, I'd love to see different colors.
Yeah, well, we can certainly do
if
that.
If you could in other words, this one right now we can start with, right? And so when there's some changes at P&Z, I'd say maybe yellow or a different color so that we know where these things, because once it gets all red, you start getting kind of blurry-eyed.
I think that makes sense.
Yeah,
thank you, gentlemen. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Jennings, grant request.
Thank you, Mr. President. There is one grant for your consideration. It is the Big Brothers Big Sisters of Delaware. They're requesting $1,000 for their annual fundraiser, Bowl for Kids' Sake. 100% of the proceeds from this event directly support mentoring services for at-risk youth in Sussex County. In 2015, Big Brothers and Big Sisters of Delaware served 257 Sussex County youth and their parents. Last grant received was $1,000, which was $250 from Ms. Deaver, Mr. Cole, Mr. Vincent, and Mr. Wilson.
Pleasure, Council.
We'll do the same thing.
Motion, Mr. Cole, second, Mrs. Deaver. Grant $1,000 to Big Brother, Big Sister of Delaware for Sussex County Bowl for Kids, being $250 for Mrs. Deaver, Mr. Cole, myself, Mr. Wilson. Questions on the motion? We'll take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Arlett.
I'll be yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I'll be yes. Motion carried. I think next should be council comments. Council comments. Any council comments?
Oh, I just have a question.
Mr. Deaver.
And I'm not expecting an answer. It's just something that's been rolling around in my mind. Is the county government a business? That's it. That's my question.
That was a question?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
I don't think we're.
I mean, I'm not asking for answers right now. I'm just, you know, asking maybe at some point we could look at it.
More comments from council?
Actually, I would say yes. I apologize, Mr. President.
Mr. Arlett.
Because this time next week, we will be voting. So I encourage all the Delaware voters to get out and vote.
There you go.
For our presidential campaign. That's important. Go.
Who do you recommend?
We're not going to,
I'm not going to go there.
Entertain a motion to recess until 1 o'clock for our workshop with Del Dot at the West Complex.
Yes.
Motion, Mrs. Deaver. Second, Mr. Cole. Question on the motion. We'll take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Arlett.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Yes, motion carried. We're now in recess till 1 o'clock for a meeting with Del Dot. Kyle, I-